Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Youngest Rav Vladimir Thursday morning shiur, remote only. There are two ways to find out this information. I post it on my WhatsApp status. First of all, every Wednesday, my WhatsApp status contains Thursday shiur information. If there is shiur, if there isn't shiur, this week it says Zoom only. The Youngest Rav Vladimir also sends out an email. So if you're not on either of those information lists, please get on them. I'm Baruch Hashem, Baruch Rofei Cholim. At the very tail end, I'm much better, but I had to make an executive decision in the beginning of the week when I was not well at all, because I didn't know when I would get better, that all my shiurim were Zoom. That's why it's Zoom. Baruch Rofei Cholim. Okay, so I'll just be well. Be'ezrat Hashem, next week we'll be back to in person. So let us continue our learning. This week's sedra is Vayishlach. We're actually going to begin in last week's parasha, in last week's sedra. It'll be nice and easy for me. I could screen share with everybody. So we are going to begin. If you have a chumash and you want to open up, you can open up to Perachov Tess, which was last week's parasha. We're also going to be tying it into Inyani Dioma, which is Hanukkah, which is 1 week from this coming Sunday evening. We'll be Chav Hei Kislev, and we will light the first Hanukkah Licht by Ezra Sashem. So yes, we are going to be beginning in a topic about Yaakov Avinu in last week's sedra. So I'm going to screen share right here. Okay, so you should see I'm in Bereishis Perachov Tess, yes? Yes, Bereishis 29, you see on the screen? Okay, I hope so. Yes, no, somebody could tell me? Tell me? Yes, you could tell me. Okay, thank you very much. Excellent, good. Okay, so we're in Bereishis Perachov Tess. This week's parasha is Vayishlach, so it's much fast forward where we are starting. In Vayishlach, Yaakov Avinu meets Esav for the first time in 20 years. In order to prepare for this historic confrontation, he prepares in three ways. He presents presents to Esav, he divides his family into two camps, and he davens for divine protection. The night before the historic confrontation, he meets with Sar Shal Esav. They have a fight on the river Yabok the whole night on. In Perek Lamed Gimel, he meets Esav, goes much better than he expects. Yaakov is not killed, neither is his family. Him and Esav part ways. Chapter 34, Perek Lamed Dal, is about the violation of Dina. And the consequence of that violation, Shimon and Levi went in and they slayed the entire town. Perek Lamed Hei tells us about Yaakov going back to Canaan. Both Devorah, Meinekes Rivka, and Rachel, Imenu, die in Perek Lamed Hei. And Perek Lamed Vav tells us about the family of Esav. So that's the Sedra overview. We're going all the way back to right after Yaakov Avinu's famous dream. And last week, Sedra, he has a famous dream when he's running away, and he dreams of a ladder. The top reaches the heaven, the bottom standing on the floor. Angels are going up and down the ladder. There's God upon him, and he has this elevated dream, and Hashem reassures him he'll always be with him. And after that dream, he pours oil on top of a monument. This is Beis El. Vayisa Yaakov Ragla, Vayelich Artsu B'nei Kedem. I'm sorry. I only had to, which was a miracle, cancel one shiur this week. Everything Zoom. One shiur actually had to cancel, which, if you know me, it's unprecedented. My husband said to me, a 5 to 8 Monday night, he's like, Michal, you cannot give shiur. I said, how could I cancel? He's like, how could you give shiur? So for those for that shiur group, I apologize. But only one shiur, Baruch Hashem, from the entire week. So it was mamash, a big chaste, Hashem, Yisparach. Okay. Vayisa Yaakov Raglov. Yaakov lifted his feet. Rashi said he had like an aliyah, Vayisa is like a lifting up. He had this amazing dream, and Hashem reassures him and gives him promises. So he felt an aliyah, Vayisa Yaakov Ragla, Vayelech Artsu B'nei Kedem. He went to the east. Remember, the beginning of Parshas Vayetze tells us he left Be'er Sheva, Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Charana. So he's leaving Be'er Sheva, which is in the south of Israel. He's going to Charan, so he's journeying east. He's not going north, higher into Eretz Yisrael. He's not going west, which is to the sea. He's not going south into Egypt, so he's going east. Vayelech Artsu B'nei Kedem, Charan is to the east. Vayar Vihine Be'er Basada, and he sees, and behold, there is a well in the field. Vihine Shlam Shlosha Edreson, and there are three flocks of sheep. Rav Tzim, alas, no, he comes to this place where he's never been before, he's a stranger, and he sees that there are three flocks hanging out by the well. Klimina Be'er Hi Yashku Adarim, because from this well, they would give the flocks a drink. Vaha Even Gedola Al Pi Haber, and that's what I want to talk about today. There is a big rock over the mouth of the well. So in biblical times, the well was very important. and the gates of the city were very important. These are the two major communal gathering places. Lot is sitting, Bishar Ha'ir, Perek Yutesk, when the Malachim come. Rus marries Boaz by the Shar Ha'ir. In this week's Sedra, if you look in Perek Lamed Dalet, when Shechem goes back, and Chamor, and they tell everyone we need to do Bris Milah, it's by the Sha'ar Ha'ir. So the Sha'ar Ha'ir is very important. The prominent people sat there, the business dealings happened there, marriages, the judges, visitors came in and out of there. It's in this week's parasha. Look in Perek Lamed Hey, you'll see it says that they spoke to Kol Sha'ar Yotze Sha'ar Ha'ir about doing Bris Milah in order to intermarry with the family of Yaakov. The other place that's very important is the well. Everybody needs water for the flocks, for irrigation, for washing, for drinking. So Yaakov shows up by the well, and there is a big rock on top of the well. The Nafsu Shama Kol Ha'adarim, when all the flocks would gather there, V'galalu Asa Eben Me'al Pi Ha'Be'er, so they would roll the rock from on top of the mouth of the well, V'Hishku Asa Tzon, they would give the flocks a drink. V'Yishivu Asa Eben Al Pi Ha'Be'er Limkoma, and they would return the rock after, presumably, they give the flocks to drink. On top of the mouth of the well, they would put it back in its place. Now, we have to understand, and I stress this, that Nevuah Shehu Tzuchu L'Doros Nechteva, V'She'enu Hu Tzuchu L'Doros Einu Nechteva. Only things that are recorded in the Torah are things that are important, that contain a lesson for generations. If it doesn't contain a lesson for Doros, it's not written. It's not a storybook. It's not a fairy tale. It's not Mother Goose and Grimm. And it's not a historic anthology. Torah is the word Morah. Teacher, hora'ah, instruction. It's only recorded if it contains a lesson for Doros. If it doesn't contain a lesson for Doros, it doesn't need to be included. A lot of things happen that aren't included in the biblical canon. What is so important about knowing about the rock on top of the well? Why can't you just tell me that he meets Rachel by the well, and then he goes to Laban, he says, let me get married. But there seems to be something very important about the rock. V'ha'even gedola al pi ha'be'er. And then in Pasuk Gimel, we're told further details about the rock. Only once all the flocks gather, then v'galalu esa aven me'al pi ha'be'er. Then they can roll the rock from on top of the mouth of the well. Then they can give the flocks a drink. Only then v'yishivu esa aven al pi ha'be'er limkoma. Only then can they return the rock to the mouth of the well, back to its place. V'yomer laham Yaakov, achai me'ayin atam. So Yaakov says, my brothers, where are you from? That's where he's running. Well, look, as chance, putting that in quotation marks, would happen, that's exactly where he's planning to go. And he says to them, do you happen to know Laban? It's not really Ben Nachar. Nachar and Aram were brothers. Aram married Sarai / Yiska. Nachar married Milcah. They have Besuel, who has Laban and Rivka. Rivka, of course, has Yaakov. So he's really looking for his uncle. Laban is a grandson of Nachar. Hayidatam es Laban ben Nachar, v'yomer yodanus. He says, do you know my family? Well, they say, oh yeah, we do. So he says, how's he doing? So they say, he's doing well. And suddenly, Rachel, his daughter, is coming with the flocks, and that's his Basher. V'yomer, and he says, Themhein od hayam gadol, behold, the day is still long. Lo eish ha'asef ha'miknat, it's not time for bringing in the flocks yet to the barn, for the rest of the evening, hashku etzon of the churu'u. So he says, I don't understand what's going on here. I know it just came here, but why are you all loitering around the well? You should just give the flocks to drink and go be shepherds. Vayomu, and they say, lo nuchal, we can't. Ad asher ye'asfu kol ha'adarim, only once all the flocks gather. Oh, look what we're hearing about again. The galalu es ha'aver me'al pi ha'ber, we can't. He says, why are you wasting time? You're on work hours. It's not the evening. It's not time to bring the flocks back home yet. You're on work hours, and you should be giving them to drink. And then you should be going back to shepherd the sheep in the fields. So they say, no, we can't. Lo nuchal. I'll show you us for call all dharma until all the flocks gather. The galalu esa eva me'al pi ha'be'er. Then they will roll the rock from on top of the well. V'hishkinu atzon. Then hishkinu. Collectively, we will give the flocks to drink. Odena midabra imam, and I think I told you last week, I'm pretty sure I told you last week, that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says that the reason they answer him so nicely, instead of just brushing him off and saying, you're the new guy in town, what's your business, what we're doing? You never hear before, why are you minding our business? You're telling us how to run these things, you just showed up and you're asking questions about how we do our job. I think I told you last week. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says it's because he begins with the word, achai, my brothers. His opening word to them is a term of friendliness and warmth, and acceptance and equality, and that's why they speak to him nicely instead of telling him, you know, get out of town, pun intended, You have nothing to do with our business here. Okay, so anyway, that's not the focus of today's shiur. Oh, so what am I up to? Okay, so they tell them we can't. Why can't we? Because we have to roll the rock off the well collectively, give the flocks to drink. Odena midabra imam, he's still speaking with them. Rachel ba imatzona shela via kirayim. Who should be coming? But Rachel, she's coming with the sheep of the flocks of her father because she is a shepherdess. Everyone has to come to the well to get water for their flocks to drink. And it was when Yaakov saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, the brother of his mother, the Eszon Laban Achimo, and the flocks of Laban, the brother of his mother, Yaakov goes close. Again, we're talking about this Evan, and he rolls off the rock from the mouth of the well. And he has no problem. He gives Lavan's flocks, the brother of his mother, to drink. Yaakov kisses Rachel, and he lifts his voice and he cries. Why does he cry? So Rashi says, he cries because he sees in Ruach HaKodesh he wouldn't be buried with her. She'll be buried. Oh, it's in this week's Sedra, Perek Lamed Hey. She's buried in Kever Rachel, and he will be buried in the Meravah Machpelah. Another reason he cries, Rashi says, is because Eliphaz came. Eliphaz was Esav's son. Esav commanded Eliphaz to catch up with Yaakov and kill him. Eliphaz came to Yaakov, and he said, what should I do? My father commanded me to kill you, kibud av, but I don't want to kill you. So Yaakov said, take all my possessions. And Ani is a nechshav kameis. So Eliphaz took all his possessions, so he didn't have any gifts of betrothal. When the Eved went to Rivka to betroth her to Yitzchak, he had so many presents to give her. Yaakov doesn't have any presents, he's a pauper. So he's crying because he's no gifts by the engagement. So Yaakov tells Rachel who he is, and he's the son of Rivka, and she runs home, and Laban comes to greet him. I want to talk about this rock, and why is it playing such a prominent role here in the biblical narrative. And clearly that means it's a nevuah shehutzichu l'dor. So what is the message to us? There's an Evan Kedola al pi ha-be'er. The standard practice in town is v'heishivu at-ha-evan, oh, v'galu at-ha-evan me'al pi ha-be'er, that collectively they roll the rock from on top of the mouth of the well. After they give the flocks, they put the back, the rock, v'heishivu at-ha-evan al pi ha-be'er. When he tells, that's the biblical narrative, when he says to them, why aren't you watering your sheep and getting back to work? They say, lo nuchal, we can't, until everyone gathers together. The galu eta evem me'al pi ha-be'er. Then we roll the rock from on top of the mouth of the well. Then we give the flocks to drink. And when he sees Rachel, vayigash Yaakov, Yaakov goes close, he approaches, vayagal ta evem me'al pi ha-be'er. Doesn't indicate that there's any trouble. Doesn't seem to be particularly large rock for him. Doesn't say anything about an evan gadola. Doesn't say he needs anyone's help. Vayagal ata evan, he in the singular, vayagal, and Yaakov by himself, rolled off the rock from on top of the mouth of the well, and he gives the flocks a drink. So let us talk about the significance of the rock here, and how we understand Yaakov's apparent great strength, and the shepherd's apparent great weakness. What they could not do on their own, and they have to wait for everyone to gather. To Yaakov, it seems to be like it's nothing. So today's shiur is going to be based on a piece from Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb. We're also going to be quoting Rav Soloveitchik, a piece from Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, Drashot L'Dorot Genesis. Okay, and Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb's drashos are just so interesting and astute and often very piercing. But something else is I always love looking at the date and when this drasha was composed and then delivered. Okay? This is from November 29th, 1952. November 29th, 1952. So we're talking about just about exactly 70 years ago. It's amazing. Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb. In reading this sedra, remember, I know we're still going to this week's sedra, we're going to get there. In reading this sedra, we are puzzled by some extraordinary incidents they are recorded. Jacob, we read, had chanced upon a group of shepherds waiting to water their sheep from a nearby well. And on top of this well, there rested a stone, described as an Evan Gedola, a stone big enough to cover the mouth or the opening of the well. When Yaakov notices the shepherds lingering, he says to them, why don't you go ahead? Remove the stone from the mouth of the well and water the sheep. It all seems so terribly simple to naive Yaakov. One second, please. Okay. It all seems so terribly simple to naive Yaakov. But they answered, Lo nuchal, we cannot. It is impossible until all the shepherds gather and until all the herds gather and all the other shepherds help us. Jacob was puzzled by their attitude, and he thought he might be able to remove the stone. In the Bible's eloquent simplicity, Vayigash Yaakov, Vayagala to Evan Me'al Pi Haber, without any effort at all, without any problem, Yaakov came close and he rolled the rock from off the top of the well. Just like that. He went over and rolled the rock off the mouth of the well. We can well imagine the attitude of the shepherds when Jacob walked over to the well. Remember, these people had never met each other. Yaakov was new in town. He was never here before. This is min hakamakom. This is how we do it. This is how our fathers did it. This is how our grandfathers did it. The rock is huge. It's a boulder. It can't be rolled off. We can well imagine the attitude of the shepherds when Jacob walked over to the well. Well, they probably sneered. Look who's going to play the big hero, Jacob the Botlan. The Botlan, someone who's a Botlan, someone who wastes time, someone who does nothing with his time. Remember, okay, he just came from 14 years in Shein Ve'Aver. He probably didn't get a lot of vitamin D. He probably wasn't the most strong bone. He's lacking total sleep. He slept one night in the past 14 years. He's a Ben Torah. How's he going to move off a rock that's the size of a small car when three shepherds together can't move it off? They probably thought to themselves, look who's going to play the big hero, the Botlan, Jacob. The Luftmensch. I don't know what a Luftmensch is, but he says the Botlan, the Luftmensch. Yesterday, in a different chair, I was teaching a different piece by Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, and he referred to something. It was 1962 that I didn't know what it was either. And I said, I was also remote here, and I said to the woman, maybe some of you know what this is referring to. I don't know what it is. Anyway, he says, Jacob the Botlan, like someone who is Mevatel's man, the Luftmensch, L-U-F-T, Mensch, Luftmensch. Maybe someone who wastes time, big shot, I'm not sure. If anyone knows, you can post it on the chat. And we can also imagine their amazement and their embarrassment when this same Jacob walks up to the stone and effortlessly rolls it off. How did Jacob view the stone? To the shepherds, it was an Evan Gedola. Chazal, Luft is air. Luftwaffe. Luftmensch would be air. So like maybe conceited, like someone who's full of himself. Luftmensch. Oh, someone whose head is in the clouds. Okay. Oh, very good. Okay. Like the Luftwaffe. Allah Havdil. Of the Nazis. Okay. They're Air Force. Luftmensch. Someone whose head is in the clouds. One second. An impractical, contemplative person having no definite business or income. That's a very good definition. That's probably what they thought of Yaakov. An impractical, contemplative person having no definite business or income. There you go. He had no definite business. He just came 14 years in Shevira. He had no income because Alifas took everything. And clearly they thought he was an impractical, contemplative person whose head is in the clouds. Thank you both very much. Betty F and SD. Very, very nice. Good. Okay. How did they see the well? The Chumash tells us clearly that they saw it was an Evan Gedola, a huge boulder. How did Yaakov, how did they see the well? How did they see the rock? They viewed it as an Evan Gedola, a huge boulder. How did Yaakov Avinu view this? Same Evan Gedola. So Chazal tell us in the Medrash that he saw Kimelo pi Kivara Kitana. Kimelo pi Kivara Kitana. As big as the hole of a strainer. You know, like when you strain lakshin or broccoli or whatever it is that you cook in a pot and you need to drain it. How big are the holes of a strainer? Very small. Because if they were very big, whatever you cook would fall through into the sink. The hole of a strainer is very small. Chazal say in the Medrash, as quoted by Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, that the stone appeared to Yaakov as a kimelo pi kivara kitana, like a bit as big as the hole of a strainer, which means very small. But to these mighty muscle men, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam in 1952, appeared to be a boulder, appeared to Jacob to be a mere pebble. Was it a boulder or a pebble? Was it an Evan Gedola? Or was Kimelo pi Kivara Kitana? What is the difference? It was only one. It wasn't both. It wasn't two different things. This is not Jacob's first experience with rocks, by the way. Because in the beginning of Vayetze, in Perek Chav Ches, Vayivka b'makom vayalan shem kibah ha-shemesh. Vayikach me avneh ha-makom, 28:11. Vayasem me rosh asav. He takes from the stones of the place and he puts them under his head. And then at the end of the seder, all those 12 rocks go together in one and he pours oil. So Jacob is well acquainted with rocks. How could what they saw as a boulder be to him nothing more than a pebble? Which one was it? How to them could they not roll it off, except with combined strength? And to him, he apparently had no problem with this rock at all. First try, he goes for it, and he doesn't say to anyone, hey, could you help me get the left corner? He does it all by himself. The narrative, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, is certainly remarkable. Jacob's feat of strength, F-E-A-T of strength, and the shepherd's apparent weakness require some explanation. Why could Jacob do it? Even more important, why couldn't the shepherds do it? And even more important, what does this all mean? And what is the Torah trying to teach us? And that's the most important question of all. Because how important is a rock in our long destiny? It means it has a message for generations or it would not be included. What does the well represent? In order to answer our question, we first have to understand the well itself, the Be'er Mayim. What does it represent? Excuse me, I'm sorry. The Be'er, the well, was interpreted by... So before we talk about the rock, let's talk about the Be'er, the well. What is the well? The well itself is interpreted in many different ways by the sages in Medrash Bereishis Rabbah. Okay, Parsha Ayin Siman Tes. I didn't look up the Medrash, I'm calling Rabbi Dr. Norman Dan. Chazal say, different opinions, Elu Ve'elu. Some say it refers to Tzion. I'm talking about the well now, not the rock, the well. It refers to Tzion, the wellspring of Tzion, and the love for the Jewish homeland. Others say it's Jewish ethics, which we first received at Har Sinai. Not only do we live by being medaktik b'mitzvos, but we have morality, ethics, and midos tovos. Others say it is the well that accompanied our forefathers, interestingly, in the desert. And this is Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam teaches about Jewish sense of continuity. What began with the forefathers continued with the children. Okay. In essence, what the rabbis are teaching us is that the well, the Be'er, is the wellspring of the Jewish personality. What does it mean to be a Jew? It means to love Tzion, on the one hand. It means to be a person of ethics and morality, on the other hand. It means to be a person, a link in the chain of continuity of Am Yisrael, on the other hand. The Be'er itself, not the Evan, we're going to get there. The Be'er is the well of Jewish personality. It is the source of opportunity and accomplishment which wells up in our soul, and no pun intended, and begs to be released. The well represents Jewish productivity, continuity, latent talents, abilities, and capabilities. And just like you have to draw water up from the well, deep down, up to the surface, all of those, to paraphrase Rabbi Zev Lev, talents, abilities, and capabilities need to be drawn up from the wellspring of a person's inner self and brought to fruition. You could have the best motivations and the best of intentions, but you don't bring them to the surface, they're not worth so much. Who does that bring to mind? Reuven. Okay? Ayishma Reuven v'atzilei miyadav. Pasuk says that Reuven, I'm going ahead now a little bit, Reuven saved Yosef. Reuven did not save Yosef. Reuven wanted to save Yosef, but he didn't save Yosef. The Medrash says, had he known that the Pasuk would have written about him, v'atzilei miyadav, he would have carried Yosef on his shoulders. Medrash Rus Rabbah, Medrash Bereishis Rabbah. Now, Reuven didn't save Yosef. He wanted to save Yosef, but he didn't save Yosef. Everyone has within himself a wellspring of talents, abilities, and capabilities. And that's paraphrasing Rabbi Zev Lev. And what we need to do is bring those talents, abilities, and capabilities to the surface to bring them to fruition. It's very nice when they're latent. What good is the water doing if it's in the well if you need it at the surface? You need to draw the water up. It could be wonderful water, clean water, spring water, unpolluted fresh water. But if it's down at the bottom of the well, it's not going to help you or your flocks or your crops. You need to bring up the water in order to irrigate yourself, your crops, your fields. So the well itself represents the wealth of talent within every person and within Am Yisrael, but it needs to be drawn up to be of use. Water could be wonderful, but if you can't access it to drink it, it's going to serve no purpose. And yet, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, you see so many people who, despite the fact that they have a wealth of talent and ability, never amount to much. And again, a primary biblical example of that is Reuven. Reuven, Pachas Kamaim Al Tosar, Alisa Mishkave Avicha, this week's Sadra, Alisa Mishkave Avicha. Reuven has the best of intentions in many instances, but he's never able, he's the Bechor, but he's never able to fulfill, to bring to fruition fully all the powerful intentions latent within himself. And sometimes, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, a person's talents are never released because there's a stone on the mouth of the well. What is the stone on the mouth of the well? Life's difficulties. And yes, they are hard. They are cold. And they are rocky, just like the rock. And they must first be rolled away in order for a person to bring himself to fruition. We all have desires and dreams and hopes and aspirations. And sometimes you just find that there is a huge boulder on top of your well. All the speed bumps in the road that get in the way of you fulfilling whatever it is you want to fulfill in life. And those difficulties, like the rock, are hard. They are cold. And they are rocky. The stone represents, as Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, the difficulties in the way of each and every person. In his desire to free the forces which lie in the great well of his personality and being. In order to access the great well of personality and being, we must roll away the rock, the stone, the difficulties which lies in our path. Rav Soloveitchik says, there's no such thing as the sun always shines for a person. If he thinks so, he is mistaken. You may have heard me quote that before. Every person has a wealth, a wellspring of talents within himself, of abilities, of hopes, of dreams and aspirations. And every person has a rock, or maybe sometimes many rocks, speed bumps along the way. What makes the difference between the person who can be successful and who will be successful despite the speed bumps on the road and the one who unfortunately cannot, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, and it is his attitude toward the stone, his approach to these difficulties, which determines whether he will be able to roll it away like Jacob or be forced to keep the well covered like the shepherds. I just want to get more TK. My cooler's right here. I'm not leaving. Okay, sorry. It is the attitude to the stone and one's approach to life's difficulties which determine whether he will be able to roll away the rock like Jacob or be forced to keep the well covered like the shepherds. Yes, it is the attitude that counts the most. You know, sometimes you see people in life who have, let's say, certain physical disabilities, and they become so successful. They make themselves so successful. They have such full lives. If you've never listened to Rolling with the Punches podcast, I recommend it. Not only because I was on it, episode 14. You could go listen if you haven't had a chance yet. I asked Rabbi Shai Schechter before I did if I should do it, and he said, yes, you can make a Kiddush Hashem, be mechazik a lot of people. It's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Rolling with the Punches, episode 14. Rolling with the Punches was started by a fellow in our community, young man, father, rabbi in our community, Rabbi Ali Portal. If you don't know him, go listen to his podcast, become acquainted with him. He's an incredible person. His mother learns with me. I know his grandmother, Shatecha, his great aunt, his mother's first cousin. Cousins. Very, very special. He's a Rebbe in Hefter. He's a married father of two adorable little boys who I met when I did the podcast. He has his podcast. He's amazing. He is in a wheelchair as a result of an accident that he sustained. Oh, he does one podcast with himself. He says, it's time for me to tell my story. As a result of an injury that he sustained when he was an early teenager. And I remember when I learned in school. So what the podcast is, get it rolling with the punches. It's a like playing words because he's in a wheelchair, rolling with the punches. What he does is he interviews different people in the Jewish community with different disabilities or abilities and their lives and how they overcame. And here's a person who is so successful, Baruch Hashem, and a real leader in the community and a shining example to children of how a person can be successful with all of the abilities that Hashem gives us. Sometimes you have people who take what others see, what are difficulties and challenges in life, and they overcome to such a strong degree. How? Where does that come from? And sometimes people are not able to do that. And this isn't a judgment call, because Al Tadin is Chaver Chacha Tegilim Koma. This is in no way, shape, or form a judgment call. It's a statement of fact. Sometimes you have people who have significant rocks, boulders, and to them it's a pebble. And to others, the boulder just gets bigger and bigger with each passing day. The question is, what is our approach to our boulders in life, to our rocks? Will we overcome? Can we overcome? How do we overcome? To release the wellspring of the wealth of kochos that lay within each one of us. Says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, Rolling with the Punches. I'm on episode 14. If you didn't listen, I recommend it. Yes, it is the attitude which counts the most. It is the idea which gives birth to the fact. Listen carefully to the next sentence. This might be the most important sentence of the whole shir. The reason the shepherds couldn't roll the stone off the well is because they were convinced they couldn't do it. The reason the shepherds could not roll the stone off the mouth of the well was because they were convinced they couldn't do it. Listen once again to the Bible's words. Lo nuchal. We cannot. It's impossible. When a man thinks a particular task is impossible, then for him it becomes impossible. There's an expression in English, a self-fulfilling prophecy. When a man thinks a particular task is impossible, for him it becomes impossible. I want to show you something amazing, which Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb does not touch upon, but it relates exactly to this idea. We're going to go into another source in Chumash. Let's go to Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Yud Gimel. We're going to Chei HaMeraglim. Okay. So the Meraglim go up. Moshe gives them instructions, and he tells them, check out the land. Is it strong or weak? Fortified or open? What's the fruits? Bring us back fruits. What are the people like? So they go, and they check out the land, and everything that they say is true. There's no sheker in what they say. Okay? We came to the land that you sent us. Zavas chalav udvash efes bat. The people are very strong. The cities are very fortified. We saw children of giants there. Amalek dwells in the south, and we saw the Chiti, Yevusi, and Mori sitting in the mountain, so there's enemies on all sides. Okay. So we know that 10 of the spies, you should be able to see my screen in Midbar Yud Gimel. 10 of the spies managed to convince an entire nation that they could not go up and inherit the land. And two spies, the only two spies who entered into Eretz Yisrael, tried to say something different, but no one would listen to them. Now you have to understand that everything they said was true. Efes ki az ha'amayoshi baretz. The people are very strong. They were very strong. La'arim b'tzuos gudos mod, and the cities are very fortified. They were. V'gam yididei ha'nakuinu sham, and we saw the children of giants there. There were. They weren't saying anything that they didn't see. So how come Kalev and Yehoshua believed they could ascend, and they did? And 10 spies believed they could not, and they did not. Amalek dwells in the south. It's true. The Chiti, Yevusi, and Amori live in the mountain. The Canaanites are by the sea and by the Yarden. It's a landlocked by all our enemies. Vayahas Yud Gimel Lamed. Vayahas Kalev Esa Amal Moshe. Kalev hushed the nation to Moshe. Vayomer. Kalev said, Alona Allah, we can ascend. The Yerashnu Oso. Ki Yachol Nuchal La. We can do it. He didn't say they're telling the untruth. He didn't say there are not giants in land. He didn't say the cities are unfortified. He didn't say Amalek isn't in on the south. Kalev did not deny anything that they said. Everything they said was actually what they saw. But he had a different attitude. When a person thinks a particular task is impossible, then it becomes impossible, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb. Kalev said, key words, Yachol Nuchal. We can. Look at this. With such biblical simplicity, you almost miss it if you're not looking for it. V'anashim asher alu imo amru. And men who went up with him say, what's the first words that they say? Look at the screen. What's the first thing they say? Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Lo Nuchal. Kalev and Yoshua says, we can. Yachol Nuchal. And the Anashim Asher Alu Imo Amru, Lo Nuchal. No one was arguing about the topography, the geography, the military prowess of the people who lived in the land, the population of the land. No one was arguing about that. It wasn't about whether the fruits were big or not big, whether the cities were landlocked or not landlocked, whether Amalek was there or not there. That's not what they were talking about. Everyone agreed on the facts. Kalev and Yoshua believed they could, and they state so. And the Meraglim believed they could not, and they state so. And Kalev and Yoshua entered the land, and the Meraglim did not. Because Kalev says, Yachol Nuchal, and the Meraglim say, Lo Nuchal. What did the shepherd say when Yaakov said, why are you all loitering around here? Get back to work. Just give the flocks a drink and go back to your jobs. What did the shepherds say? Lo Nuchal. What did the Meraglim say? Lo Nuchal. From that moment and on, it was downhill. Remember, the first thing that they said had nothing. Their first report doesn't say anything about their opinion. Look carefully. The first words that indicate the downfall of the Meraglim and Am Yisrael are the two words of Lo Nuchal. First, they just give a report. Vayisapu, let's look. Banu el ha'aretz asher shalachtanu. We came to land that you gave us. The gamzavat chalav udvash. He was zepirio. It is also flowing with milk and honey. And these are the fruits. Afas, bat. Ki az ha'am ha'yoshe ba'aretz. The people are very strong who dwell in the land. And the cities are very fortified. And we saw children of giants dwelling there. Amalek is in the land to the south. The Chiti, Yevusi, and Amori are dwelling in the mountainous range in the north. The Canaanites are by the sea in the Jordan River. They didn't say in that statement what they thought. They just said the facts. That indicates nothing about whether they think they can or they cannot, or whether they'll be successful or not. They're giving a report. If you look in the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel, they're just answering what Moshe told them to find out. So it's very interesting that we don't know anything yet about the Meraglim's opinion based on what they said. They're just saying what they saw. We don't yet know anything about the Meraglim's personal subjective opinion. And then it says, Vayahas Kalev Es Ha'am. So the people, when they hear this, start to panic. But we don't know the Meraglim's opinion yet. The people, when they hear Amalek dwells in the south, Rashi says the Meraglim said it on purpose. When they hear Amalek dwells in the south, they start to panic. So Kalev says to the nation and to Moshe, Yachol Nuchal. What's the first words of subjective opinion of the Meraglim? The first three psukim are statements of fact. This is what we saw on the land. Kalev and Yoshua do not argue. The first statement of opinion of the Meraglim is Lo Nuchal. Because what they saw is not their subjective opinion. That's simply what they saw. Vayahas Kalev Es Ha'am. What's the first thing we know about the Meraglim? Lo Nuchal. Don't I tell you almost every single shiur that nothing in the Torah is an accident? I say that all the time, more than I say, could you see my screen? I think I say nothing in the Torah is an accident. The first thing you know about the Meraglim's opinion about the conquest of Eretz Yisrael is lo nuchal. The fact that the cities are fortified and there are giants and Amalek and the Canaanites, Yavusi, and Betzuras, Gedolos, Ma'od, that's not their opinion, that's statement of fact. The first words of their opinion are lo nuchal. Says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, he doesn't bring up the Meraglim actually in this essay, in this drasha, but I mean the connection is so startling. Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam is a tremendous thinker and brilliant mind. I'm sure obvious that he was aware, maybe for brevity, didn't include it in this drasha, because the connection to the Meraglim is just unbelievable. It's so blatantly obvious. They say Yachol Nuchal, and the Meraglim say Lo Nuchal. Says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, the reason the shepherds couldn't roll the stone away was the fact that they were convinced they could not. Lo nuchal, it's impossible. When a man thinks a particular task is impossible, then for him it becomes impossible. Jacob, however, had no such difficulty. He didn't think it was impossible. He thought a man could certainly remove a stone from a well. And so he went over, and without further ado, he simply moved it out of the way. He thought it was possible. And so for him it became impossible. I'm sure, you, have had many situations in your life, maybe not. Maybe you're a stronger person than I am, or a better person than I am, or a person who has been blessed with less rocks over the well than I have been. You have thought in your life, maybe though, you're like me, and you have thought in your life, I can't. Okay, the one before, maybe. This one, I for sure can't. How many rocks do you think I can move out of the way, God? I mean, seriously, I'm one person. I'm not a wrestler who's standing in the ring who, you know, body weights, body lift weights, whatever it's called, bench presses. Just a normal person. Last week we spoke, I got very positive feedback. It is preferable to give up all your tomorrows for one today. Because if you do not, you will find, says the Alter Rebbe Vardak, that you have given up all your todays for one tomorrow. Yamim Echadim. And today we're talking about the Evan Gadola. Is it a boulder or is it a pebble? Everyone has such great potential within the deepest recesses, but water on the bottom of the well is not going to help anybody. Nobody can benefit when it's at the bottom of the well. It has to be drawn up to the top of the well. But there are boulders that cover the well. There are rocks and speed bumps that get in the way. Caution, sharp turn ahead. The first thing we know about the Meraglim's attitude towards Eretz Yisrael, not the facts, the first words the Torah says, that the Meraglim says of subjectivity, are lo nuchal. How could they possibly conquer the land if they say lo nuchal? And Kalev says, yachol nuchal. The first thing the shepherds answer Yaakov is, lo nuchal, and therefore they cannot. The same holds true, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, for most of us. If we face the stone on our individual wells, the difficulties which keep us back from doing the constructive things that we want to do, and we imagine our stones to be boulders. You know, do you ever lie awake at night and the pebble grows and grows and grows and grows? From first it's a pebble, and then it's a little stone, and then it's a bigger stone, and finally it's a boulder. And that's what it is. And once it becomes a boulder, try as we might, it cannot be budged. Our lo nuchal attitude makes it an Evan Gadola. If we approach it, however, with a kimlo pi kavar katana, that the stone is a pebble, and it can be rolled away as easily as a pebble. What you think is impossible becomes impossible. Think it's possible, and the odds are you can do it. Remember the book, I have it downstairs. I used to read it when my kids were little. I think it was written like in the 1930s. The Little Engine That Could. I have the red hardcover book downstairs, and there's this little engine, and she's old, and she's trying to get to the other side of the mountain. She has milk and spinach for the good boys and girls on the other side. Now, you could tell it was written a very long time ago. And They try to get a tanker to pull over and a bigger engine, and everyone says she can't do it. And the whole time she's chugging, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. She finally gets over the mountain and she says, I thought I could, I thought I could, I thought I could, I thought I could. It's a terrible perspective. What you think is impossible becomes impossible. Think of it as possible, and the odds are you can do it. The story is told of Marshall Ferdinand Foch, F-O-C-H. Marshall Ferdinand Foch, the famous World War I commander, who reported to his headquarters the following message. My right flank is in retreat. My left flank is encircled. My center is caving in. I am ready to attack. Here is a man who would not say lo nuchal, and the stones became pebbles and he won. Marshal Ferdinand Foch, the famous World War I commander, who sent the following message to headquarters. My right flank is in retreat. My left flank is encircled. My center is caving in. I'm ready to attack. Here's a man who would not say lo nuchal. The stones became pebbles, and he won. Let us go to this sedra. Last week's parsha, Yaakov Avinu, who we're still talking about, who has a lot of experience with rocks, and a lo nuchal attitude for him is always possible. So in Perek Lamed Beis, Yaakov is preparing. Ayushach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav. You should see my screen. I'm in Ambarishus Perek Lamed Beis. Okay, the beginning of our sedra. Ayushach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav El Esav Achiv Arza Seir Stay Adam. Yaakov sends messengers before him to Esav, his brother, to the land of Seir, the fields of Adam, and he commands his messengers. Rashi says Malachim Amish. So you should say to my master Esav, so says your servant Yaakov, Im Lavan Garati, Taryak Shamarati, V'Acher Ad Ata. Okay. And I have all these animals, and I'm sending presents. And the Malachim come back to Yaakov, and they say, we came to your brother Esav. He's coming to meet you with 400 men. Anyone remember 613 Torah Avenue? Vayishach Yaakov Malachim Lifanav. Yaakov sent messengers to Esav. Esav was coming with 400 men. Yaakov Davent Hashem. No? Yes? You remember? I know the song in my head, but I'm not going to sing. Vayir Yaakov Ma'ov Vayitzer Lo, says Rashi, he was afraid of being killed. He was fearful he would have to kill others. He divides his camp, family and flocks and possessions into two camps. And he says, okay, there'll be a She'eri Sapleta, Nishar Lapleta, that's where the term comes from, She'eri Sapleta. And the Esav strikes, well, the other will survive. Now he davens. I've diminished by all the kindness and the chesed that you did for your servant. With my staff, I crossed the Jordan River. And now, when I ran away, I had nothing, but the staff in my hand, and now I'm in two camps. Please save him from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esav. I'm afraid. Okay. He sends a lot of presents, hundreds of animals to Esav. He gets up that night, he takes his two wives, his two shvachos, his 11 children, Dino's in a box, as Rashi, he takes them over the Yabuk River. He takes him, he crosses them over the river, he takes that which is his. Why did he go back? I gave a shir last night that spoke about these couple psukim belkaratan. It's Zoom, it's on YU Torah if you're interested. Okay. It's about Chanukah. Yaakov was left all alone. So this superpower of Esav now finds Yaakov, who's all alone, and he's fighting with him. They have a wrestling match until the morning dawn. Yaakov's not a warrior, he's not a boxer, he's not a taekwondo, he's just a shepherd, a yeshiva man, a regular guy trying to live a life who encounters a lot of rocks. Esav, Lavan, Esav again, Tsaras Dina is going to befall him right after this. And he's left all alone, and a man wrestles with him till the morning dawn. He's fighting with a heavenly superpower. This superpower is much stronger than Yaakov. Look very, 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 very carefully at the Lashon of the Psukim. Vayar, the angel sees, ki lo yacholo. The angel, who is much physically stronger, well, the angel's not a physical being, but who would have more physical prowess, because he's not limited by nature. Ki lo yacholo. The mighty superpower of Esav after an entire night of fighting with Yaakov, recognizes that he, the angel, cannot overcome Yaakov. Lo Yachol. Oh, 1 second. I'm sorry. Well, you got the cough. This is much, 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 much better. Baruch Hu Fichorim. Last night I was feeling bad. I told my husband, I think I'm the happiest person on the planet tonight. No, I'm not joking. I said, I literally think I'm the happiest person on the planet tonight. I told you many times that in Modim, it's my personal gratitude journal every day. When I bow down, I always say 3 things that I'm thankful for. Shachos, Mincha, and Arvus, 3 different things. Last night, all 3 were, thank you Hashem that I'm feeling better. I'm not joking. Vayigah b'kaf yirecha. He strikes the thigh bone. So why isn't it in person? Because I had to make the executive decision earlier in the week. Mansa went out. I couldn't change it. But Baruch Hashem, everything is basher. But I'm just expressing public gratitude to the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is the Rofei Cholim. Vayigah b'kaf yirecha. He strikes the thigh bone of the socket of the thigh bone. Ateka yafir Yaakov bev kolimo. So Yaakov's thigh bone becomes dislocated. So the angel says, Shacheni ki ala shachar. Send me because the morning sun is done. Vayomer lo shalecha kim berechtani. I will not send you until you have blessed me. Vayomer elav ma shemecha. Vayomer Yaakov. He says, what's your name? He says, Yaakov. Vayomer lo Yaakov. Yomer shemecha. And the angel, vayarki lo yachal lo. The angel cannot do it. The superpower, who is not limited by Teva, cannot overcome Yaakov. And so he does not overcome Yaakov because he says, Lo Yachol, I can't do it. You know, we're not called B'nai Avram, we're not called B'nai Yitzchak, we're not even called B'nai Yaakov. We're the B'nai Yisrael, who learn Torah Yisrael and yearn and live in Eretz Yisrael. We're called after Yisrael. Torah Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael. Not Avram, not Yitzchak, not even Yaakov. What is the name Yisrael? Ayomer lo Yaakov, Yomer od Shimcha, Kim Yisrael. The angel says, you want a bracha? I'm going to give you a bracha. The angel represents Golos. The whole night long, Yaakov is fighting. Kisarisa. Im Elokim ve'anashim. Atuchal. It needs no narrative. It's so beautiful, it should move you to tears. It doesn't need me to comment. I'm going to, because that's my job. Kisarisa email kivin machine batuchal. We're not B'nai Avram, we're not B'nai Yitzchak, we're not even B'nai Yaakov. We're B'nai Yisrael, who learn Torah Yisrael, live in Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Kisarisa. There'll be so many quarrels, strivings, rocks, boulders in your way. Im Elokim, Nisyonis from Hashem, Im Anashim. You're going to meet people and it's going to be hard sometimes in life. There'll be many challenges. Va tu chal. Yaakov said to the shepherds, why are you all loitering around here? Get to work. Lo nu chal. We cannot, said the shepherds, so they couldn't. The first thing we know about the Meraglim's opinion of the land is Lo Nuchal. The facts were the facts. Amalek, Knani, Yavusi, Arim Betzuas, Gedolos Meod. That's the facts. No one denied it, the facts. Kalev and Yehoshua did not refute those facts. But Kalev said Yachol Nuchal, and the Meraglim said Lo Nuchal. And at this pivotal moment in the destiny of Knesset Yisrael, when the angel is resting the entire night, finally, the morning sun dawns, and the angel says, this man never gives up. I, a superpower from above, cannot overcome. Vayar ki lo yacholo. You will be named Yisrael. Ki sarisa. It's true, there will be many rocks standing on your path. Im Elokim v'anashim. You have personal nisyonos. You have national nisyonos. We all have them. The destiny of Knesset Yisrael in Golos is one speed bump after another. Atuchal. The Yid never says, I can't. The Gemara tells us, you should see, I went to Masechah Shabbos Chaf Aleph on the base. And that's really the Yom Tov of Chanukah. And Matisyahu the Chashmonai Kohen Gadol. And his five sons, Yura Maccabi, Yochanan, Yonasan, Elazar, and Shimon. They led a small band of Jews under the flagship named Maccabi about 200 years before Churban Bayis Sheni. So we're going back about 2,200 years ago. They led this small band of Yidden to fight against hundreds of thousands of Syrian Greek soldiers in Antiochus' army. If anyone could have said Lo Nuchal, it would have been the Chashmonaim. Because if you go by odds, it's impossible. Just like if you go by the odds, conquering Eretz Yisrael was impossible. Just like if you go by the odds, one person can't roll the rock off the well. Just like if you go by the odds, Yaakov Avinu can't win over Asar Shal Esav. But Hashem doesn't go by statistics or odds, and neither does his nation. Ma'i Chanukah. What is Chanukah? Says the Gemara Shabbos Chof Alef on the base. Nitanu Rabbanan, the rabbis telling the Braisa, B'chafei b'kislev yomei d'chanukah tamna. Timanaya. On 25th Kislev, we have 8 days of Chanukah. Inun delal mispad b'han u'delal yisanas b'han. We don't give hespedim during these days, and we don't fast during these days. And the Gemara here tells us the story of Chanukah. K'shenichnasu yivanim leheichal. When the Yavanim entered the Heichal, the Syrian Greeks and the Misyavnim, Timu kol shmanim shebeheichal. They defiled all the oils that were in the Heichal. They trashed the place. Like I always think of it, I said it last night in my book, Ratan Synagogue Shir. You know when you buy the jam and it says, if this seal is popped up, don't use the jam. I'm not joking, that's how I always think of this one pure flask of oil. Like the seal wasn't popped up. And they defiled all the oils. They brought in a chazor, they brought in a vodah zarah. They made a whole mess. It was complete schmutz. And when the house of the Kohan and the Chashmonaim, I just thought something interesting. I never thought of it in my life. We celebrate Chanukah for 8 days. Shmonas Yomei Chanukah Elu. Holos Ulahala. Shmonas. The miracle happened with Shemen, which is the same shores as Shmonas. Ha! On the base Chashmonai is the same shorash. Look at the word Chashmonai. Shin Mem Nun. Okay, I have to work on that. I never thought of it until I'm talking, actually. Do you understand what I'm saying? Shmonas Yomei Chanukah Elu was a nace of Shemen. Chashmonai has the word Shmona and Shemen right in there. Okay? Can't be an accident. Anyway, that's not the point of share. Ukushagava Malchus Beis Chashmonai v'nitzchum. I didn't even think that they could fight. It's asinine. It's ludicrous. A few Jews with some elephants are going to fight against Antiochus and hundreds of thousands of soldiers. A few Holocaust survivors with numbers on their arms. And some refugees fleeing the Arab lands and going to establish a state in the middle of millions and millions and millions and millions of Arab Muslims. Why even bother? Why pick up arms? Arab Tara Herzl, there's a whole section, 2019, I've recommended it many times, there's a whole section dedicated to fallen soldiers in the 48 battle. They came off the boat from Europe, they went to war, and they fell right away. Why even go to war? Lo Nuchal. Could you imagine if Knesset Yisrael would have the attitude of Lo Nuchal? You know when we would have stopped surviving? From the time of Yaakov. We wouldn't even be here anymore. Forget Egypt. We would never even been in Egypt because Yaakov would have stopped. He would have said, Lo Nuchal, I can't. Yaakov Avinu's perseverance and determination to make the boulder into a pebble, which is an enemy that can be reckoned with, is transmitted in spiritual DNA to each and every dar. And so yes, b'chol dar v'dar, amdi malenu l'chaluseinu. But b'chol dar v'dar, ki sarisei malakim v'anashim v'atuchal. Why did he even bother to fight? Micha mocha b'elim Hashem, are you nuts? A few handful of Jewish soldiers are going to fight against this huge army? What's true in 200 before the Common Era, it was true in 1967 and in 1948, not in that order. Ukushagavra machus beis chashmona ivinitz chum baudku v'lo matzo ala pachachad shol shemen shayimunach b'chos moshel kohen gadol. Again, they should say, what's the point of lighting the menorah? We can't. Why should we light the menorah? It was enough for one night. We need a light every night. It was one jar that said, don't use. If seal hasn't been popped up, this seal taka hadn't been popped up. There was only enough oil to light one night. A big miracle was done. It was lit for 8 days. Shmona shaman chashmona'i. Needs further exploration. The next year, the sages established and made these days into Yamim Tovim with praise and thanksgiving. Not only praise and thanksgiving that the Ribbono Shel Olam saved us. Praise and thanksgiving. In regard to your comment, listen to my shiur last night from the Boca Raton Synagogue. It's on Zoom. It's on La Yitoa. They should have not just given up. It was a lost battle before the battle even began. My grandfather, Alav Hashalom, when I lived in Israel in the 1990-1991 school year, I was in ninth grade. It was Shavuos. It was the year of the Gulf War. It was Shavuos. And my grandfather was a Holocaust survivor. Came to be with us, and we went to Birkas Kohanim at the Kotel. Or maybe it was Shavuos morning when we went to the Kotel, and there are thousands and thousands of Jews. My grandfather was a Holocaust survivor, and he lost three daughters in the first war, in the Holocaust. Golda, Leah, and Ita, Shemin Kamdaman. The reason I know that is because the names are on his kever. And he said in Yiddish, who would have ever thought I would live to see this in my lifetime? Standing by the Kotel, thousands and thousands and thousands of Jews celebrating Chag HaShavuos. Who would have ever thought I would live to see this in my lifetime? Says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, the reasons the shepherds couldn't roll the stone away was because they convinced they couldn't do it. Lo nuchal, it's impossible. When a man thinks a particular task is impossible, then for him it becomes impossible. But for Jacob, he had no such difficulty. He didn't think it was impossible. He thought a man could certainly remove a stone from his well. He thought it was possible, and for him, it became possible. The Bnei Shalom should give us the kochos, the fortitude, and the resources to make our boulders into pebbles, to be able to have the kochos with si'ata d'shmai to roll them off, to release the bountiful wellsprings of bracha hidden within each one of us, individually, nationally, should always be zocha to continue the struggle until, like Yaakov, by Yizrach lo Hashemesh, the morning sun finally dawned. We should be so zocha. From here, be Amenu next week, by Ezra Hashem. Everyone should be well. We'll be back to in person and Zoom. Thank you so much. Shabbat Shalom. Kol Tov. Thank you all.